While the world has been captivated by the missing Titanic exploration sub, it looks like we have a grim update, an update that was probably the most likely scenario since the very beginning. The world has watched and literally been counting down the seconds of a very rough estimate based on the amount of oxygen that may or may not have been available to the explorers on this submarine. And now I call them explorers because I still give them credit. The spirit of exploration is still important, and it doesn't really matter how much money these people had. I suspect most explorers early on were better off or had some sort of resources or things of that nature. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I think it's a rough story. So this morning at like 7:30 our time, my time, was when the alleged air supply was supposed to run out. Now, what a lot of people kept hanging on to, I thought, was weirdly, ignoring the reality that experts said that they would need something like 8 hours to ascend from a depth that low. Meaning when people were talking about having 2, 3, 4, 5 hours left, all that really meant was that they were going to run out of air 4 hours from the surface or 3 hours from the surface, or in some cases, 20 or 30 minutes from the surface. There is no way to get out of that submarine without assistance. There was no sub sending down some airlock to get them in. None of that was going to happen, especially since really up until just moments ago, they didn't even know where the thing was. When we were counting down 8 hours of oxygen, it didn't matter because we didn't even know where it was, let alone sending something down to get it. Last night, the first deep water recovery robot, Victor 6000, had made it to the ocean's floor and began searching for the Titanic sub. While it's feared the oxygen supply on board had been depleted, the U.S. Coast Guard still considers this an active search and rescue, not a recovery mission. Victor 6000 has arms that can cut cables, dislodge a trapped or stranded vessel, as well as fix a cable onto the sub to allow it to be winched to the surface. More search and rescue assets will be arriving on the scene today. And this was at 6:45 a.m. this morning. Interestingly enough, there's a lot of backseat drivers, including myself on this, and I found a video from somebody who is actually a 20-year submariner, Subbrief, which I think is, if you really want to know, this person obviously seems very, very smart. He created a list of, things like, things that concerned him, the use of carbon fiber pressure hull, hiring young, inexperienced technicians. The CEO famously said that they don't hire 50-year-old white guys because it wasn't inspirational. Now, based on the latest update we have, it doesn't seem like it was a white guy or inexperienced thing. It seems like it was a corner-cutting thing, a thing that, they talked about it. It's him, the CEO, saying, I've broken some rules to make this. How OceanGate's boss reveled in revealed the 7-inch acrylic window on the lost Titan sub would get squeezed in under water pressure, and admitted he ignored guidance to create the deep sea vessel. This seems, more like a tragedy of hubris, corner cutting, and ego, more than an inexperience. The billionaire, the millionaire that started all of this, said, it's acrylic plexiglass, Rush tells Estrada after being asked what the window mounted at the front of the Titan vessel is made of. It's 7 inches thick and weighs about 80 pounds, and when we go to the Titanic, it will squeeze in about 3/4 of an inch and just deforms, he explains. And acrylic is great because before it cracks or fails, it starts to crackle, so you get a huge warning if it's going to fail. The video then shows Rush giving a tour of the submarine's interior. Typically, when we're in the dive, you'll have two people sitting here by the window, two people behind them, and the pilot back there at the rear of the vessel. So it's quite a bit of room. First thing we do, one button so it doesn't detonate, he says, pressing a small button mounted on the wall. As he does, monitors inside the craft flash on. He talks about all sorts of things of that nature. But it doesn't look, you know, the U.S. Coast Guard, this was just an hour ago. We're not giving up. The U.S. Coast Guard says hunt for the Titanic 5 is still a rescue mission as they are looking for survivors despite oxygen supply running out. Now, one of the things that he talked about in this video, the submarine engineer, submariner, was that did they know, you know, when they said, oh, they have all this, you know, they have all this emergency oxygen. Well, how did they test that? You know, people breathe faster under duress. Did they actually test it? Where do these numbers even come from? There's no voice comms. There was comms lost during testing, but they had let precious time tick away before calling anybody. There's also no way to ventilate the pressure hull. And you see this test depth of 4,000 meters was not tested at sea before first commercial dive. Possible that the atmosphere life support was not even tested. Does not use lessons learned from NASA and aviation community. No subject matter expert in the submarine operations and safety. These are like, I mean, if you could pick any one of these things when you're going 13,000 feet below the ocean and figure out, you know, and put it to the test. But now the U.S. Coast Guard has discovered a debris field. And this is probably the sub, I'm guessing that it had a major hull collapse, probably on descent. Like they've been, and this is going to sound kind of morbid, but you know, that scenario is far better than them sitting at the bottom of the ocean slowly running out of air. The fact that they have a press conference set up, that means they must be reasonably sure that's what it is. You can see the Coast Guard has scheduled a press conference for 3 p.m. Eastern in Boston, Massachusetts, following the announcement that an underwater debris field had been found in the search of OceanGate's missing Titan submarine, which vanished Sunday with five people on board. The Coast Guard is scheduled to hold a press briefing to discuss findings from the Horizon Arctic's remotely operated vehicle near the Titanic. It said in a press release about 5 hours ago, the Coast Guard said the Horizon Arctic's ROV reached the seafloor and began the search for the missing sub. The Titan submarine vanished Sunday morning with five people on board. OceanGate CEO Stockton Rush, French mariner Paul Harvey, British businessman and explorer Hamish Harding, Pakistani businessman, and his son. The Titan lost contact with its surface vessel, the Polar Prince, around 1 hour and 45 minutes into the dive on Sunday, about 900 miles east of Cape Cod. Now that's, I believe that is when the catastrophic hull failure happened. You know, the Coast Guard has announced Thursday that the debris field was discovered within the search area. Experts within the Unified Command are evaluating information, it added. Underwater remotely operated vehicles were deployed Thursday morning to search the floor. Coast Guard said earlier that Canadian vessel Horizon Arctic had deployed an ROV that reached the seafloor. And this is, you know, basically, you know, when you have debris, that means it didn't get stuck down there. And, you know, people end up not breathing. This thing imploded. You know, you see, if you look some of these videos, if you're watching my screen, this is what a tank, this is like a train tank implosion. This is what the, you know, rapid depressuring looks like. You'll see, if you watch slowly, you know, that's likely what happened to the tank. I know it's wild, but that's what it looks like. You know, an instant collapse. The whole thing about hours of oxygen left, I don't think that it mattered. Now they say this person is tweeting that it is pieces of debris belonging to the lost submarine, indicating an implosion. So, you know, this is a very, just a mess. You have, you know, weirdos celebrating because these people happen to have money. You had, you know, a CEO that looks like they cut all sorts of corners to make this happen. And then you had some, you know, explorer spirits on there who, you know, I'm hoping got to see the Titanic before the implosion, but who knows? This is just a complete failure. People talk about, obviously, all the all the you know, the risks, the corners that were cut, who can really know? You know, a lot of people talk about, oh my God, they used a $30 Logitech controller. I mean, doesn't our military run, you know, drones with Xbox controllers, you know, or something like that? Maybe that's fake. I don't know. I feel like I read that somewhere. It's not uncommon to have off-the-shelf technology used in very important issues. Sometimes it's just not worth re-engineering something. But if you watch Subbrief's video on it, you'll see that there was, I mean, numerous issues. Corners cut, numerous issues with the sub, that all of which, you know, having outdated LCD screens, that doesn't really matter. People really focus in on all sorts of things. I think in the end, what mattered was the hull. They had some sort of structural failure. Perhaps it was the glass, the plexiglass. No one will really know. I know it sounds morbid, but I think it's probably better this way than have them sit on the bottom of the ocean and run out of oxygen. I guess I don't know if they recover it, if they even bother recovering it. I don't know how that works, if they could figure it out. But this looks like the end of the search. And to their families, obviously, my heart goes out to them. This sucks, I guess. I if there's another major update on this, maybe, you know, I don't know. There just doesn't seem to be any, like, any more question. I think a lot of people knew, you know, a lot of people were hoping for the best. This is human nature. But it looks like this is the end of their search. It's finally happened. Bud Light, Budweiser and Anheuser-Busch together coordinated a tweet storm today after relative silence, in particular with the Bud Light account being completely dark for over 2 months. They poked their little head out. And let me tell you, it has been an amazing, amazing thing to see. I mean, you knew eventually they were going to have to tweet. You just knew. But this is not going well. Now, they are working hard at hiding all of the replies, which is where all the hilarity lies, and we're going to share that with you today, as well as some other interesting stories around the Bud Light disaster. Now, after furor, Anheuser-Busch hopes next Bud Light commercial goes down smooth. Anheuser-Busch InBev is getting ready to pour cold beer on a brewing controversy after getting tangled in the nation's culture war with the Bud Light social media's promotion that included Dylan Mulvaney, a move that unexpectedly resulted in boycotts. It is not unexpected to me that it ended up in boycotts, because this is what was always going to happen. Companies want to get political, and therefore you're always kind of risking that. They're always kind of risking pissing people off. Now, diminished sales and a decision to put two marketing executives who oversaw the marketing effort, the company hopes to move on with a new ad campaign that focuses on many summer activities that present an appropriate amount of moment for the beer. One of the best known beverages in the United States, Good Times, the sunny 1978 hit by the dance music group Chic, plays throughout. We wanted to show up in all relevant occasions this summer. Backyard barbecues, stadiums, sports venues, says Todd Allen, an Anheuser-Busch veteran who's recently named the vice president of Bud Light. In an interview, that's what counts. That's what we're focused on. Now, they've got this here, Easy to Summer. I can't play it because I can't play the audio because of the copyrighted music, but they have comments turned off. What a surprise. It has thousands and thousands of dislikes already, but I digress. We'll go back to the article. In addition to a broad TV campaign, says Allen, will show up a primetime broadcast TV cable and sports program. Anheuser-Busch plans to tap NFL players, country music stars to pitch Bud Light to the masses. Tyler Braden, Seaforth, and others will take part in a Bud Light backyard tour that brings musicians to intimate locations, and NFL athletes Travis Kelce, sellout, George Kittle, sellout, and Dak Prescott, sellout, will star in other ads, ahead of the Football League's 23-24 season. What's more, Anheuser-Busch will also give away $10,000 each week to a fan, give consumers a chance to win $100 towards their bar tab, and offer rebates over July 4th weekend. This is an insanely aggressive marketing push, like wildly aggressive. But I guess, you know, I've got to be honest, that's what's required. I mean, that's what you have to do. I mean, if you're going to like smother out this boycott, you have to go hard. Then you've got to go harder than like anything else. You've got to promote. You've got to cover all of your bases. And by the way, all of this is new money that they wouldn't have had to spend. Anheuser-Busch more than tripled our already weighty national media investment behind Bud Light, Allen says. The brewing company spent approximately $60 million across traditional media for Bud Light in 2022. According to Vivix, a tracker of ad spend, has already spent $40 million behind their product in the very first quarter of 2023. Meaning you're going to have to spend $200-$400 million, I suppose, that to undo the $16 billion market cap loss. I mean, you see, the at least Wall Street, for example, they seem optimistic. They seem positive based on this new ad blitz. If you look at the last 5 days, it's up 0.52%. And if you look up today, it's a pretty big jump. It's up almost a dollar a share and heading up north. Now, eventually, you know, if people continue to stay strong, this will crash back down. There's good reason for the brewing titan to pour more out. Bud Light and Budweiser have long sought to capture the attention with inspirational commercials featuring the company's signature Clydesdale horses and sophomoric humor that tickles funny bones with anthropomorphic, I always have a hard time saying that, frogs and real men of genius. But the company found itself at the center of the cultural maelstrom in recent weeks with the Mulvaney Canuck. I mean, this is an ad that they probably paid like $1 million for. And now they have to spend, first of all, they lost billions, and now they're going to have to spend another $100 million just to try to earn it back. And I still stand by, you know, there will be tons of people that just never drink Bud Light or Anheuser-Busch products again. But that said, is there enough new customers out there to try and offset exactly, you know, all the people that left and all the people that are boycotting? It's difficult to say. You know, I think there are people that just like a beer and don't care about all that. I'll give you an example. A friend of mine, he's like an uncle-in-law, you know, not, he's like family, but not kind of family. He came over and visited this weekend and he brought a case of Busch Light. And I was like, oh yeah. You know, when you get in your bottom surgery or something like that, I just made some joke. And he was just like, yeah, I'm secure in my manhood. And I just like the beer. Like, he's a biker. He just doesn't give a crap. And he had clearly heard it before. And you know what? Respect. I always say that about video games, for example. The video games come out. You know, I talk about World of Warcraft, Final Fantasy, whatever the case may be, and how, you know, whatever the evil corporation does, you know, it can make people not want to play their games, get mad, this, that, and the other thing. But at the end of the day, life is short and you just kind of want to enjoy things. And if you happen to like a beer, well, then that's fine. You know, that's what you drink. But, you know, hilariously, you also see, you know, country star Chase Rice, Coors Banquet show Garth Brooks and Bud Light how it's done. While Garth Brooks is defending Bud Light, Chase Rice is teaming up with Coors Banquet to promote 150 years of excellence. Are they related? Probably not. Will it divide country fans? Probably. Are we here for it? Absolutely. Rice and Coors unveiled a new ad via Instagram Wednesday during the 37-year-old belting out his latest banger in the background as the legendary beer celebrates its 150 years. It's a bad day to be a cold beer, a Bud Light cold beer indeed. Well, it'll be interesting to see, you know, just how many people, you know, are trying to kind of get back to the, you know, what actually people like about ads. Now let's take a look. So Budweiser just tweeted this, quality forever. Whoops, they deleted it. They deleted it. Uh-oh, Piscadios. That's real time. How about this one? Anheuser-Busch. We know how important it is to prepare when the disaster strikes. Okay, it's the same recipe as Bud Light. Is it still live? No, it's still live. Hey, okay. It is still live and getting ratioed into oblivion. How about Bud Light? Actually, I'm curious now. Where's that Budweiser one? Budweiser. I wonder if they retweeted it. You know, they deleted it. And this is what Call of Duty did. Nope. They deleted it. Now, they still have a tweet from 20 hours ago. You can notice up here where the real conversations are, they're hiding all of the replies. There are thousands of replies that they're hiding. Let's see if Bud Light's still live. Crack a cold one. We've got an epic summer ahead. Let's see. I have refresh. Hey, it's still live. Okay, it got 300 likes. Pretty interesting. My son Zach can't wait till he's old enough to drink a Bud Light. OMG, he's grown so much. Nice seeing both of you. Yep. Okay, oh, here's me. Cool ad. View hidden replies for the real story. 870 likes. So even I ratioed a multi-billion dollar national corporation. And exactly here, you can see they're getting pummeled. No thanks. I don't need groomer juice. Hidden. No trans people. No progressive pride flags. Do you remember that it's still Pride Month? 300 likes. Bud Light, are you ready to get wrecked? 300 likes. You know, you just have America's number one groomer beer hidden. Bud Light is back for our babies. Yeah. You know, all this kind of stuff. Haha, nope. They call it, it's just before and after Mulvaney's. I mean, they're just getting out. I mean, what can they do? They literally cannot tweet. 4,000 comments to 300 likes. It's, you know, what they have to do is just keep, you know, they have to do what Call of Duty did. Listen, I'm giving you free marketing advice, Bud Light, okay? Just keep tweeting. Just keep tweeting, just like whatever that is, you know, the fish one. I don't know what else they do. Like, you have to just keep, you have to tweet, and you just have to keep tweeting through it. It's just an absolute destruction. If you want to have fun, I would say, you know, now is a pretty good time to enjoy heading on over to Bud Light Twitter page and, you know, enjoying a little bit of hilarity, a little bit of we do a little bit of trolling, a little bit of memeing. And I just wonder how many ads they're going to be. So you're deleting tweets, you're hiding replies. Yikes. But I don't know what they're going to do. They just have to keep tweeting. I think they have to just keep tweeting every 10 minutes. People will punch themselves out. That's the only thing I can hope. Or, you know, they could have never got political in the first place. It looks like my assumption in the first video today covering the Titanic submarine was correct. We now have confirmation from multiple sources that it is indeed an implosion. And there's a lot of news and information that goes along with that that I'm going to try to cover I didn't know these people. I'm not going to pretend to be, you know, personally affected by it, but it sucks. You know, exploration is, you know, so rarely do we go down. They say so much about our space exploration. There's so much about the ocean that we don't know. And there seems to be a lot less funding and interest in actually exploring the deep oceans. Who knows what cures could be down there, what medicines could be down there, all the kinds of things that so much we don't understand. And, you know, five people still lost their lives. I think there's plenty of blame to go around, and we're going to take a look at first the moment it was confirmed and everything we now know, go from there. We have the sub update. A friend of the two men missing aboard the Titanic sub has now confirmed the debris found was, quote, a landing frame and the rear cover from the submersible after receiving a WhatsApp message live on Sky News.
Rescue expert, friends of two of those on board. And you're getting some news, you're hearing some news?
Yeah, there's a WhatsApp group between ourselves and the Explorers Club that we've all been connected to as soon as this happened. And our president is directly connected to the ships that are out there. And the message that they're telling me, if you're talking about debris, it was a landing frame and a rear cover from the submersible. So again, this is a very unconventional submarine.
So that's, you know, we can now confirm that. There's also friend two of the missing passengers has confirmed that the debris found earlier today was the Titan submersible. He received the confirmation live via WhatsApp. And then, of course, that what the people in that group were on the scene. This confirms what we've been assuming since yesterday. The submersible had a catastrophic implosion. The implosion was likely due to low-quality, brittle carbon fiber hull. And the hull was, I was in a titanium, and then the carbon fiber was on the inside. I don't know. Anyway, the passengers likely passed away near instantly. No suffocating or suffering. And I assume the company that runs the expedition and owns the submersible will face significant legal action for the safety shortcuts that they have undertaken. I don't know, because, you know, what I saw in the coverage... there's a pretty lengthy release that all these people have signed to, you know, say that they are basically, hey, whatever happens, I'm not holding you accountable. For everyone looking for miraculous rescues, those hopes were dashed this morning. For a detailed breakdown on what happened, check the tweets below. I mean, you had this, obviously. Most likely scenario is that the hull of the submersible imploded due to the brittle carbon fiber nature. Carbon fiber is not necessarily brittle. It's very strong. It just does not show signs of breaking. It just shatters. Other things show signs of impending weakness. I don't know how much time that gives you, because if you're seeing, you know, the steel or the, you know, titanium making changes, it's probably too late. You know, the second scenario is that the sub experienced mechanical failure, which we now know is not the case. And that should likely, they should have been spotted by now, even days ago, especially with all the equipment, been able to send out signal. Also, I also read that the sub had multiple systems on board that would be able to resurface it, even if there were, you know, other problems. None of those activated, which also is another pretty clear factor. You know, that they probably just imploded on the way down. Quote, the only saving grace is that it would have been immediate. Titan sub crew died immediately from implosion, say experts, as landing frame and rear cover are found 500 meters from the bow of the Titanic. I only hope that they at least got to see the thing. And if I guess there's some weird, sick silver lining, they're down there too now, with something that they were so interested in. The landing frame and rear covering of the missing Titan submersible have been discovered on the ocean floor, according to experts involved in the search, who say it points to the vessel suffering a catastrophic implosion that will have claimed all five of the lives on board. The U.S. Coast Guard announced on Twitter that the debris field had been found on Thursday. They are yet to confirm exactly what was discovered. But Richard Garriott, president of the Explorers Club, tells DailyMail.com his understanding from the teams involved in the search is that key components of the sub were among the items. It would mean that the sub suffered a crack and imploded under the water pressure, instantly taking all five souls. This is an unconventional submarine. The rear cover is the pointy end, and the landing frame is the little frame that it seems to sit on. It means that the hull hasn't yet been found, but two important parts of the whole system have been discovered, and that would have been found, that would not have been found unless fragmented, meaning maybe they haven't found the hull yet, wherever that is. Got picked up in the current and carried somewhere. But the fact that these pieces are there, they would not have been there unless there was a failure. This really indicates what is the worst case scenario, which is catastrophic failure and implosion. I don't know. I think worst case scenario would have been being stuck down there and out of air. So you can see the landing frame is the stuff on the bottom here. You can see it would not be separated from the top. It's a part of it. And then the rear cover, which is this whole section here, I think. So, I mean, they clearly found the pieces of it, right? The only saving grace is that it would have been immediate, literally in milliseconds, and the men would have no idea what was even happening. David Mearns, a friend of the two men on board, saying during an appearance on Sky News, he added, "My worst fears have now been realized." A press conference has been scheduled for 3 p.m. Eastern, where the Coast Guard said it would discuss the findings and bring its devastating development to the search, which has been emphatically categorized as a rescue effort and not a recovery mission, which it clearly is now. I mean, they were so close. So you can see the actual, here's the rear. I mean, it's like right in front of it. Now, wherever the actual tube is, we don't know yet, but the rear cover and the landing frame are right here. I mean, it's nuts. And you see this video, the U.S. Coast Guard confirms debris is consistent with catastrophic imploding.
This afternoon, Rear Admiral John Mauger will be providing an update on the most recent findings from ROV operations in search of the Titan submersible. He will provide a brief statement and provide the opportunity for questions.
This morning, an ROV, a remote operated vehicle, from the vessel Horizon Arctic discovered the tail cone of the Titan submersible approximately 1,600 feet from the bow of the Titanic on the seafloor. The ROV subsequently found additional debris. In consultation with experts from within the Unified Command, the debris is consistent with the catastrophic loss of the pressure chamber. Upon this determination, we immediately notified the families. On behalf of the United States Coast Guard.
So this is, you know, basically it's like Occam's razor, right? The most likely solution is, you know, the most likely answer is probably the answer. And that's essentially what this is. When you have the nose cone and both halves of the pressure hull were discovered in the debris fields, that's a new update.
Essentially, we found five different major pieces of debris that told us that it was the remains of the Titan. The initial thing we found was the nose cone, which was outside of the pressure hull.
So inside, you have this pressurized hull, and the nose cone just goes on top of that for aerodynamics or whatever you would call it for water.
We then found a large debris field. Within that large debris field, we found the front end bell of the pressure hull. That was the first indication that there was a catastrophic event. Shortly thereafter, we found a second smaller debris field. Within that debris field, we found the other end of the pressure hull, the aft end bell.
Okay, so it's split.
Which was basically comprised of the totality of that pressure vessel. We continue to map the debris field, and as the Admiral said, we will do that.
So that's, they found everything. So the Coast Guard confirms now that there was, in fact, a catastrophic failure. I suppose the silver lining is that it was instant and they didn't sit down there. Obviously, the best case scenario would have been them being found. But I hope this doesn't discourage more explorative passion and passion and drive. Perhaps, you know, maybe next time CEO won't cut so many corners. It's just a bad thing all around. One wonders if you would have hired all the best people for it. At the end of the day, it looks like the CEO willingly kind of cut corners on this thing, or took kind of liberties with it. That doesn't really involve the whole everybody got woke thing, you know. But, you know, hiring the best people, maybe the CEO seems like somebody who, you know, if you hire the best people for the job, you have a lot less people telling you no. I'm sorry, you have a lot more people telling you no. CEOs don't always like that. And that could be really at the core of this. It's a tough end. There's the not the happy ending everyone had hoped for, but at least there is closure. I suppose there's that. Well, 2023 is truly the year of the clown world ascending to the entire clown circus. On the list of things that I thought I would be reporting on in 2023, certainly a cage match, a literal cage match between Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg is not one of the things I thought would happen. But apparently, it's going down. In fact, Dana White has spoken to both individuals, and they're both 100% in on this, which is, quite frankly, bizarre. Two billionaires duking it out in the ring. One thing I will say about the Zuckerberg, this dude actually has been training for quite some time. He's been training doing jiu-jitsu. He's been doing a lot of physical training. Elon, I don't know. You may want to reconsider this one or consider moving to a thumb war. Who wins? I guess UFC Fight Night. Let's take a look at the physical breakdown. Elon Musk has the height and reach at 6'2 versus 5'7 and the reach of 71 inches versus 51 inches. He also has the weight at 194, but he is 50. He's 11 years older than the Zuckerberg, but more importantly than not, Zuckerberg has been training for a long time. In fact, he's won jiu-jitsu tournaments in the recent history. So I don't know. I'm not sure that, UFC, now if they decided to box, that might have a better chance. There might be a better chance of being fair. But this is spicy. In fact, I feel like I saw this. Andrew Tate has inserted himself and offered to train. You can see Meta banned me everywhere for telling the truth about the poke, but now we can restore our honor with a strike at the enemy's clan leader. I will train you, Elon Musk. You will not lose. I mean, I suspect that Andrew Tate could train him. I mean, he is a champion. People forget that about him. You may not like his rhetoric, but the guy was a kickboxer and very good at it. Maybe he wasn't the best ever, but when you're at that level of, where you're winning championships, you're winning, was it the Olympics? He's a world kickboxing champion. It'd probably be good to have him in your corner. Then you need a guy like Sam in there for your mentals, screaming in your ear, going ballistic, getting you that killer instinct that he instilled in Harvey for his first fight and, me too. I think that would be pretty interesting. The media is absolutely loving this because, of course, they would love Zuckerberg. The media, Zuckerberg is a part of the mainstream media. He works hand in hand with, all of the same things that the mainstream media does. They're pro-censorship. They're pro-poke. And they're pro-banning anybody who's against it. Elon Musk is pro-free speech, anti-poke mandates, at least, and would be a great warrior. The problem is Zuckerberg has been, he completed a Murph challenge, which is no joke, and he did it in under 40 minutes. He's in much better physical condition than Elon Musk. That doesn't mean that he couldn't train, that he couldn't take the time to get into shape, but he's going to need some time. You see here, Meta to release Twitter rival called Threads. This is back on the 20th. Meta, the same company that copied Snapchat, TikTok, StumbleUpon, Foursquare, BeReal, Clubhouse, and began coding Project 92 3 months after Elon Musk acquired Twitter. Elon says, "I'm sure that the Earth can't wait for to be an to be. I'm sorry. I'm sure Earth can't wait to be exclusively under Zuck's thumb." With no other options. At least it will be sane. Was worried there for a moment. Better be careful, Elon. I heard he does jiu-jitsu now, and he says, I'm up for a cage match if he is. And then, of course, Zuckerberg replies with, send location, send me location. You see here, Penn even saying, lol, I love you, Elon, but you better start training. Look, as somebody who, you know, has been training off and on now, sadly, when I got sick, it kind of derailed me a little bit. I started again this week. But just for boxing, it's immense. Now, I am far more out of shape than Elon Musk ever was, but it's intense. It takes hours of your day every single day, hours that Elon does not have. Now, for me, it serves as a motivation to get in shape, to get fit. And if that's what Elon views it as, I think it could be a big W for him. But I do think that he's got a massive uphill battle going because, yikes, you got a guy that has been training for some time. He's been doing jiu-jitsu. He's got his ground game, at least, decent. He says, here we go. After Elon Musk recently tweeted that he would be up for a cage match with Zuckerberg, Meta CEO fired back by posting a screenshot of Musk's tweet with a caption that says, send me location. I've confirmed that Zuckerberg's post on Instagram is, in fact, not a joke, which means the ball's now in Musk's court. The story speaks for itself. Meta spokesman Iska Sarik told me. After his story was published, Mr. Musk responded with two words, Vegas Octagon. He then tweeted, I have this great move I call the walrus, where I just lie on top of my opponent and do nothing. I hope that's not how he is with his women. The backstory here is, since I reported more details about Meta's forthcoming Twitter competitor, Musk has been taunting Zuckerberg on Twitter with zingers like all sorts of things. During an internal all-hands meeting at Meta Next last week, Chief Product Officer told employees that the company thinks creators want a version of Twitter that is, quote, sanely run, drawing cheers. I've always thought that Twitter should have a billion people using it, Zuckerberg said during a recent podcast interview with Lex Fridman. In terms of the tech billionaire CEOs literally fighting, Musk versus Zuckerberg would be as good as it gets. Musk 51 has the upper hand on Zuckerberg in terms of sheer physical size, and he has talked about being in real hardcore street fights when he was growing up in South Africa. Meanwhile, Zuckerberg is an aspirational MMA fighter who is already winning jiu-jitsu tournaments. He also claims to have recently completed the grueling Murph Challenge workout in just under 40 minutes. Regardless of who would win, I think we'd all agree that a Musk versus Zuckerberg match would be one of the most entertaining of all fights of all time. No, it probably wouldn't be. I got to be honest with you. It probably would not be that entertaining in general. I think that, to me, I mean, it's great. Maybe Elon's just using this as a reason to get in shape or, as a meme. Mark is not playing around. I think they would need some time, but why can't I think of his name? The UFC guy, Dana White, he said it's real. Like he said that, I feel like he said that he's talked to both of them here. Dana White, Musk and Zuckerberg are dead serious about fighting in the UFC octagon. Elon Musk said they are absolutely deadly serious. And by the way, while doing this interview, wearing a Rumble Sports t-shirt. Huge shout out Dana White. Now I know his slap thing is doing really well on Rumble, so that's good, and I'm happy for it. And it would be awesome if it was streamed exclusively to Rumble. I don't think that would happen, but certainly Elon needs to start training immediately. It'll be interesting to see who do you got in this fight. I guess I'm going with Elon because I've been riding with him so long. It's been a very interesting couple of days as the old Twitch guard, who has received preferential treatment from Twitch over the years, has been openly coping and seething that some other individuals on their platform dared to secure their financial future, even secure generational wealth in some of the cases, like XQC, popular, Twitch's most popular streamer. Somehow, it's unethical for them to earn money, mostly because these streaming stars are on the decline. I'm not going to pretend like people like Hasan Abi and Pokimane aren't popular. They are, but they're no longer gaining popularity. They're no longer growing. And in the case of Pokimane, she's barely even trying anymore these days. And they're mad that others have outgrown them, have outworked them, and now have out-earned them. And it's coming out in the form of some of the most hilarious copes I've ever seen. There's been a clip kind of going around. There's a couple clips I want to share with you. This really started, of course, Pokimane with the smug laugh saying, "Why would I compromise my morals and ethics for more money when I have money?" Pokimane responds to viewers asking if she would join Kick for $10 million.
Nope. No. And it's not because I got like $10 million.
That's cringe anyway. I've got money, unlike you poors. Give me $5 a month, poors. I got money. When's the last time you saw Pokimane on any mainstream advertising? Her career has peaked a long time ago. She knows it. She's in the cash cow phase of her career. And there's actually nothing wrong with that. Extending that as long as you possibly can. I think it's fair to say that even my growth here on YouTube, for example, is certainly leveled off. It's not like I'm going to go to 2 million subs. I have 2 million, 3 million, 4 million. This is, you know, there's a certain audience for my content and I try to reach as many as I can, but I'm much closer to the ceiling than the floor these days. So, there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm not bitter about it. You know, Pokey certainly is.
It's just 'cause I'm good as I am.
Oh yeah, she got money.
Why would I compromise my morals and ethics?
Her morals and ethics. This is somebody that accepts Fansly, a site where people sell pictures of their b-hole as a sponsor. And by the way, this is someone who pretends. What she's referring to is that there's gambling on Kick.com. Okay, and there is a case to be made that you don't like that. That people don't like that. You see this from Bruce Dropamoff saying multimillionaire streamers who have been streaming for 10 plus years mad that young streamers are taking the same deals they took with Twitch but on a different platform, tagging Pokemon and Hassan. They are. These are the old guard. They're old heads and they're jealous. I mean, that's really what it is. And they can pretend that they're not all that they want, but that's exactly what this is. And look, there is a case here. Look, Glenn Greenwald put together, you know, a critique of Kick, saying this streaming platform Kick is financed by crypto casino owners. They're paying streamers massive contracts to sit online all day gambling, so they lead their young fans to get hooked online gambling. They purposely hire streamers with young fan bases. That is a claim, you know. That should be that's a claim. So I don't know if this, you know, this article in here is makes, you know, this thing, according to several reports, live streaming platform Kick has been blocked in Greece for providing unauthorized gambling services. According to Hellenic Gaming Commission, newly updated blacklist of websites, Kick was blocked and labeled as a gamba site in Greece. Okay. Glenn Greenwald, whom I do appreciate and normally does great work, is sharing his opinion here. He doesn't know that they're hiring people specifically because of their young audiences. I don't think that Amaranth's audience is particularly young. I don't know everyone else who got deals. So I think, you know, Glenn doesn't know this. And also, you know, certainly XQC is a guy that has done some gambling before, but as far as I know, he's mostly just breaking copyright laws by streaming The Dark Knight and episodes of Breaking Bad right now. So I don't know. But this is what they're saying, right? They're saying, oh, they're above going to Kick because they've got deep morals. Well, bro, first of all, sponsored, here's Pokimane and Hassan, sponsored by morals. I mean, sponsored by Fansly morals, she said, for the Streamer Awards, taking money from sites that sell Prawn. Also, there's literally gamba on Twitch. There's literally gambling on Twitch right now. So what exactly is this girl on about? I think it's extremely, it's a huge self-own. And then Hassan too, absolutely coping.
Funding. It's owned entirely by a casino and there's no.
So this is Hassan, pro-union piker here. whining and complaining about who owns Kick. Well, who owns Twitch? Well, that would be Amazon, one of the biggest union-busting organizations out there. Hassan has no problem working for them, does he? None. You know, it's such a fake moral argument. And you see this, like Pro Reborn writes, here's a morality check. The phone you have, assembled by child labor in China. The shirt you bought, sweatshop. Wow. Beauty products tested on animals. Those gems, people died at the bottom dollar mine to mine them. But yes, a crypto gamba site giving streamers 95% sub split for tax write-off is the moral and ethical issue in this country. And Hassan, I'm telling you that the fact that they're saying it's about, they're owned by a crypto casino. Oh, okay, Hassan, sure. You're just mad.
There's no interest in like making it profitable at all. And
how would they know that? Hassan claims that Kick isn't interested in being profitable. Is he crazy? Does he think that Kick can just exist by bringing people in and everybody's gonna stream, you know, use their casinos?
It's owned entirely by a casino, and there's no interest in like making it profitable at all in the near future.
How does he know?
I guess like
every company in tech.
I don't know.
And how many websites in tech have ever been profitable on Jump Street? I mean, YouTube doesn't even make money most years. Does Hassan know that? Probably not.
Like every single agree company with you on in this? Tech in the last fucking 30 years. Got it. Continue.
You know what I would believe if they banned crypto gambling on their website?
Why would they need to do that? Twitch doesn't do that. Why isn't Hassan saying Twitch needs to do that? He's such a fraud. This is why he's
gambling on their website. If they were like, no links to stay.
They're
not allowing any kind of
Sanju! Twitch is about.
Yeah, I don't know why this is buffering so much.
Funding.
It's owned entirely. If they banned crypto gambling on their website, if they were like, no links to stake,
Sanju!
We're not allowing any kind of
Sanju! Twitch is the better shit. Holy fuck! Twitch isn't doing shit for the better shit.
That's what I'm saying.
Twitch is amazing live.
Because
Sanju! My god!
That was
what is playing Twitch on the better gamble? Nothing! Holy fuck! What are you talking about?
Twitch is not owned by stake.com. It doesn't make it any better that Twitch is still allowing
so
crypto gambling
on
for the record.
Source that you will never let it go past its source.
He's 100% right. I don't consume a lot of XQC's content, but he seems to understand the very basics of, but this is coming from the other good faith. Here's another good faith argument from Pokimane, whose entire career is online. If you're a streamer, you know who Rumble is. Everyone does, because they've been signing other Twitch streamers. They've been signing streamers like Jidian, iShowSpeed, Kai Sinet, and many more. But here's super moral and ethical Pokimane pretending she's never heard of Rumble.
Okay, Mizkif going to right-wing Rumble site?
Oh, and Mizkif too.
What's a Rumble site?
She knows exactly what Rumble is. A lot of people say, well, I didn't know. Okay, yeah, not everybody knows what Rumble.com is now, but every streamer does, and especially the big ones.
I think Rumble is like Kick, but for conservatives mostly.
Huh?
Rumble is a right-wing free speech YouTube clone?
Free speech YouTube clone?
What in the world?
This girl knows exactly what Rumble is. Are you kidding me? It's her job. Like, I can understand if Joe on the street doesn't know every new tech media website, but it's not like Rumble is some brand new thing that has no users. It's been around for 2 years. They have all the RNC deals. They have a lot of other stuff. I mean, she's so smug and disingenuous. I don't understand how signing to other streaming platforms is compromising morals and cringe. I don't either.
For more money when I have money. Something about that is so cringe.
Yeah, making money is cringe, especially when you have as much money as I do, Pokimane.
To me personally. Like, I understand, you know, if you need to make money.
What this is Pokimane has been protected and received special treatment, in my opinion, from Twitch for her entire life. So she sees competition as a direct competition for her. Same thing with Hassan. Both are pretending, using this fake moral positioning, moralizing about whether or not Kick is owned by, well, Kick is owned by crypto gambling. So you don't have to stream gambling to go there, do you? Pokimane has inspired me to create a Kick account. You know, like, why wouldn't I stream to a place where there's more eyeballs? Any idiot knows that. You don't have to be a, by the way, you don't have to be a right winger to be on Rumble. Rumble's for everybody. Kick is for everybody. Twitch is for leftoids. Okay. That's, you know why you don't see any huge conservatives on that platform? I wonder why.
I know why, Pokey, you're defending Twitch so much, because Twitch dick rides you.
That's correct.
You literally won multiple streaming awards because Twitch literally dick rides you. You see, it's not the same for everyone else. It's not the same for everyone else. You literally are sitting here defending a platform. You're sitting here defending a platform that you don't even own.
Maybe
like, it's literally like your fucking little sister. You're the poster child of Twitch. You average 7,000-8,000 viewers, which is incredible. I'm not knocking you. But you were winning streaming awards over people who deserved it way more than you. Hence, why I made this tweet. Hence, why I made this tweet so long ago when I said, sorry, Pokey, it wasn't rigged this time. By no means am I a massive creator, but this got 44,000 likes for a reason. Because everyone feels the same way as you. Everybody feels the same way about you, Pokey. Not just me. So many people.
Pokimane isn't even in the top 20 streamers on the platform, yet she remains the face of it, and that's why she's so protective of it. Here's Amaranth dunking on her.
To give you. But for
I don't think this is true. I think the reason that she mentioned him was because she was trying to farm clout and relevancy in a era where she doesn't really have any at the moment.
That's
like
correct.
The Twitch base, you know, because she's been AFK so much. So she comes back and she just involves herself in the drama to be a part of the discussion still, so she can keep getting views and traveling and not really streaming much.
Factual.
Right? That's
it's okay if you don't want to work. It's okay if you want to cash out. It's okay if you want to, you know, be jealous even. But don't pretend that you're riding some moral high ground because they're owned by... You guys work for freaking Amazon, bro. Sit down. Hope you enjoyed this video. If you did, make sure you leave a like on it, and we'll talk to you again real soon.